Hello, and welcome to another AppleVis podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Hansen. I'm a member of the AppleVis editorial team and very pleased to welcome you to AppleVis Extra number 26. The date of recording for this is January 18th, 2015, and we have a very exciting interview plan with a developer who just recently launched an app. But before we get to that, I've got to introduce my co-host, Thomas Domville. He's another member of the AppleVis editorial team. Thomas, it's great to be with you today.
Thanks, Michael, for having me. This is going to be a great little podcast, and I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. How about you?
Things are doing pretty good. It's pretty decent out here for being in January in the middle of the States, up in the 50s. I can't complain. I'm pretty happy today.
Now, have you, speaking of cold and thermostats, did you know that there is an app now that will help you? I mean, assuming that you don't have a talking thermostat, if you have a conventional thermostat, there is an app out there now that you can connect remotely to a sighted assistant to help you with any number of tasks, including, this is one of my favorites, reading the website, for example, making sure your thermostat is set to the proper temperature. So if I want my thermostat at a nice balmy 78 degrees, all I got to do is load up this certain app, which we'll talk about in just a second here, and ask the sighted volunteer, hey, what's my thermostat set to?
Absolutely. It's a fascinating little app, and I haven't even thought about doing the thermostat. I'd give that a try. I just had them identify, some of you probably heard my podcast, I had them help out, pick up some of my clothes, my jacket, and my socks, and it worked out really well.
Now, by now, you're probably all pretty familiar, if you've been listening to AppleVis podcasts or podcasts from other sources, about the app. It is called Be My Eyes. And what this app does, well, tell you what. What we're going to do here is we're going to introduce Hans Weiberg. He is one of the folks behind the Be My Eyes app, and we'll let Hans tell you about the app. Hans, it's great to have you here today. Thank you so much for taking time to come on the show with us.
I'm pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, believe me. So, Be My Eyes. Where do we even start? I mean, it's such an amazing concept. I've tried it, and for those who are new to the idea of Be My Eyes or just hearing about this for the first time through listening to our podcast, tell us just a little bit about the app, just in very basic terms, and then we'll kind of go into more details in just a minute. But basically, what's the main idea behind it?
What the app does is you as a blind person, if you have an iPhone, you can use Be My Eyes and then be connected to a volunteer who can help you to see something. You're filming it with your iPhone, and then we transmit the picture and the sound to the sighted volunteer, and then you can have assistance.
That's pretty cool. That's certainly something new that we haven't really seen before. You know, we've seen lots of iterations of picture apps that, you know, take a picture of something and they'll tell you what it is. Some of them involve folks who are actual sighted folks that are either getting paid or volunteers. Some of them are computer recognizing algorithms, but this is something totally new. So tell us about, how did the idea for the project get started? When did it get started? And how did we get to where we are now?
In the spring 2012, when I was working in my wife's workshop, she's an upholsterer, and I got myself an iPhone, and I started to use it. I'm visually impaired myself. I have retinitis pigmentosa, so I have this very narrow vision. And I started using my iPhone, and I'm also a chairman for the blind people here in my region of Denmark. And I spoke to some of my blind friends and about this iPhone, and I told them that I had begun to use FaceTime. And one of my friends said, "Oh, I use that also, and I use it for to get someone to help me." He told me how that was working. And then he said, "But I always have to call someone and ask them to help me." And that's where I came up with this idea that we should make a corps, a group of volunteers who could answer such a call. And yeah, I'm not technical at all myself, so I went to a startup weekend where you can go and pitch an idea. And I went in, and then you get the 1 minute to pitch it. and then I was lucky to form a team who was think that was a great idea. And then we have been working on it ever since. We spent almost a year raising the money. We managed to raise $300,000 to hire the coders and so on to actually build the app. And yeah, it's a long story, and I can talk about it for hours, but I think that's the main point.
Well, it's a long story, but it's a very fascinating one. And first one, I had no idea that you are visually impaired as well. So you just said you had RP, is that right?
Yeah. Mm.
And so that's what I have too, and I think that's fascinating to have somebody that came in the world with their iPhone for the first time and kind of experienced what we've gone through, all of us really gone through the iPhone and how useful it can be. And so
I say to my coders that you have to get this done before I need to use it myself, so just to push them a little bit. I still have 5 degrees vision, so it's a very narrow but it's I can still read text and so on. So it's
what was great. It like presenting at the, you know, you have your 1 minute to pitch the app. Were you nervous? Were you thinking that folks might not take it very well? What was the emotions like having to have that 1 minute to pitch your idea?
I was nervous because I live in Denmark and we had to do it in English. So it's when you have to do something precise and fast and in another language, it's kind of scary. But it went well. So
So your app. Now you've got the app, you've got it built. What was the initial testing phase like? What did you guys do? What were your early experiences using the app? Did you have any challenges along the way? Once it was ready to test, what did you guys do?
But it's how can I put it? We have been testing in several. Different first just inside our group we tested it. Then we pulled in a few and asked them as to test it and so on, and here the last 2 months we have the app has been available in the Danish App Store alone, so we've been testing with 100 and I believe in the end, we were 150 blind people testing it, and about 400 sighted people.
Okay.
And then we got rid of some of the bugs and there has been a lot of things that we should correct, and that also to get the voiceover to work properly and so on, because none of the coders were used to code something that should be accessible to blind people, so we all had to learn something and redo it and so on. So
did they have any challenges specific? You know, you hear about accessibility, and you know, you think a lot of folks you say, oh, you just need to label some buttons or do things like that. Was there more to it? Or?
Especially labeling the buttons and so on. And when they think that now I have done all of them, they could the blind people could still find something they had to do and something that didn't work the way it should and so on. So it's been a long process.
Interesting. Okay, so you've rolled it out to the App Store. Again, the date of recording here is January 18th, 2015. You guys rolled it out internationally to the App Store on January 15th.
Yeah.
What was the response like? What were you guys expecting, and what did you guys actually get?
I need to go back one day before the 15th because
we have been
warming up to this on Twitter and Facebook and so on. And
yeah, that's how I found out about it.
Yeah, yeah. On the 14th, we were asked to come into the Danish national television on their Tonight Show.
Wow.
And tell about it. So, and there we went. and you see, in Denmark, we are 5 million people. And when the show was over, we had 1,000 downloads.
Woo! And How long was your appearance?
That's quite big in Denmark. And the next, on the 15th at night, we were also asked to come to national television. And once more, I was on the show there, not the same show, but in the news section.
Okay.
And then we had, I believe we had 1,600 downloads there.
Wow.
And then it started picking up, and I can't remember the exact figures, but now here, 3 days later, we have had 40,000 helpers and about 4,000 blind people signed in all over the world.
That's awesome. It's,
it's totally crazy. and we have been in... TechCrunch and Mashable and Huffington Post and things that I have never heard about.
And you're in the big leagues now.
apparently.
Yeah.
I just saw that one article about us was, reposted 5,000 times. So it's totally amazing.
So it's been staggering. It's been quite staggering, and it's been taking you aback because of the popularity, and now you're getting into the mainstream, and this is like beyond your dreams, you know. This is like
absolutely. Also, and it's kind of tough to handle. The day after launch, I had I believe it was 7 people working pretty much day and night. To keep down with the to keep the track of mails and Twitter and Facebook questions and so on, and because the servers were stressed so much, people experienced that the app was slow. And then, if it's a little slow, you better send an email and ask what's wrong. and people did that, so we were flooded with the emails, so we have been working like mad, I can tell you.
Wow.
I'm sure
you swamped. I know, you know, first of all, I just kind of digress a little bit. I absolutely love the title, Be My Eyes. I don't know why, but that just struck a chord with me. I really love the name.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect name for the app. And the interface is just beautiful. It's just so simple. There's no frills about it. I mean, it's just there's not a whole lot of complications to set up.
You open it up and there you off you go, as they say. You know.
Of course, you have to put in your first name and last name and email and a password. Then you're good to go. So,
yes. And then all you got was 2 buttons, and that is to get to the next helper or go to settings. And I really like the fact that you gave us the ability to watch how many people have signed in, because it gives us that information as well on our end.
And I can tell you, I am very happy that we did that, because when you have plus 40,000 helpers and you have 4,000 blind people, I think we already get mails from helpers say, "Oh, I have downloaded this app 2 days ago, and I haven't had a call yet. Does it work?" You have to wait because we don't have blind people enough to satisfy all the helpers. Of course, that's
what a wonderful problem to have.
Yeah, right? It is totally wonderful. But still, if you get tons of emails, that you have to respond in some way.
Explain to us the vision sighted. So we've talked a little bit about the non-sighted side of it a little bit, and we'll come back to that a little bit more here. But we don't really talk about a lot more of what people that have vision, people with sight, how is it on that side, and is it something that anybody can join, and what kind of things can they expect, and what kind of option do they have on that side of the...
When you as a sighted person, you download the app, the first thing where you have to choose if you are blind or sighted, and then you choose sighted, and then you do the exact the same thing. You're shown a little video where we kind of explain the concept, and then you sign in, first name and last name and email and password, and then you can't do anymore. Then you put your phone in your pocket, and then it's when you are notified, it's just like getting an SMS. In the top of the screen, there will be this little banner, and if you have the time, you slide the banner to the right, and then you have taken the call. And then just like with the FaceTime, it takes some seconds before the picture is in both ends, and but then you say, hello, it's Hans, what can I do for you? And then the blind person can hear that now you are ready
and you're connected.
And if you don't have the time, you just ignore the call, because I don't remember the exact seconds, but I believe it's like 10 seconds. If you don't answer it, the call, then after 10 seconds we will ping another one. You can still take it after the 10 seconds, but then another one can also take it, and then after another 10 seconds we ping the third and the fourth and the fifth and so on.
Is there a way for folks to sign out, you know, if they're, you know, during the bedtime? Obviously you probably wouldn't want phone calls coming in at, you know, 12
a.m. No, it's not a phone call, because if you silence your telephone, it's just like with an SMS.
Okay.
If you put it on silent, then nothing.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't actually like ring like a phone. An actual SMS. Okay. All right. I feel a little bit better. I won't be waking anybody up.
No, okay. And we have also made it that no matter what, you will never receive calls after before 7 o'clock in the morning and after 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And if you, as a blind person, want to be helped after 10 o'clock at night, then you will be directed to someone in another time zone.
Ah, yes. That was going to be one of my questions. Sorry. Continue.
I knew that you would ask that, so just go on.
That's a good algorithm. I never thought of that, and that's a fantastic idea, because, you know, that's one of the issues that I came across was the other evening. I was doing it, 7 and 9 o'clock in the evening my time. And unfortunately, and I'm guessing it's because we're still establishing and trying to build up volunteers in the time zone I'm in, but it just kept going and going. I never got anybody for like 20 minutes, and
I know why that happens, because some of the, you see, when you are in the U.S. Your phone is set to be U.S. English, but we take that U.S. away, so you are only English. But we have to do that manually, so we kind of clear that pool once in a while, And if you are, if we just clear the pool and you are signing up afterwards, there might only be five U.S. English, so that's why there probably wasn't any helpers at that specific moment there. So, I can tell you there's a lot now.
So. Yeah, where are all your? What is the, in terms of locations? Are you getting lots of volunteers from all over the world? Are they you know, a lot from Europe? Do you get a lot of U.S. traffic? What are you guys finding in terms of the volunteer numbers?
We haven't really looked into the traffic yet, but we are getting very, very many volunteers in England and the U.S., in Canada, in Japan. And also in German and Scandinavia here.
Wow.
So it's getting bigger by the day and on the end.
It is, yeah.
It's going to improve from here once we get more volunteers established. And speaking of volunteers, I know a lot of people have these questions about volunteers. I think some people, and I understand rightfully so for some people, there's been a lot of discussion about privacy issue as I always tell people, you know, I mean, you're gonna be wise what you do and not to reveal where you are and who you are and any personal information like your address or your phone number or your credit card that you're not comfortable with in sharing, because these volunteers are strictly volunteers. So there's no background check, no nothing. Anybody can sign up, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just like meeting someone on the street. And ask for help. You should consider it the same way. And you wouldn't show your credit card to a total stranger on the street, not even on your own street. That's the way I think about it anyway. So
that's a good way to think. I hadn't heard that analogy, but I like it. You think of it as, you know, the same level as asking someone on the street, you know, for assistance in finding something or doing something, that sort of thing.
Does a person on the other end know who they're talking with, like their email address or anything?
No. People kind of miss that, but we, when you sign in your first name, you are told that, at least you should be, told that we send your first name to the helper. So when the helper gets a notification, it says, John from Be My Eyes needs help. I believe it is, something like that. So, but no email or last name or country or state or anything.
That's good.
That's good. Because I like that they have a name, but nothing else.
Yeah, and then that makes it more courteous, is that you know the first name, say, okay, Thomas, you need help. So or Hank, or whatever it is. And I like
we really wanted to send the helper's first name to the blind person, but technically we can't do it. That's a shame.
What about they don't know where you come from. Do you record all these sessions on a server or anything, or is this just all?
No, we don't record anything. No.
You record nothing. You just have our name and our email address. That's all you store.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, we are logging how long time it took and how fast the helper did answer. But that's only so we can optimize the process. So yeah. to decide if we should have a 9 second or 6 second or 15 seconds and so on. And down the line, we might even say that in the evening, people are slower or faster and so on. So we can optimize so that we don't disturb so many people and the blind people get help as fast as possible. So
it's all analytical information that you store.
It is, yeah. But we need some more traffic to do that.
And do you able to know that Thomas has been on here 100,000 times, he's been on it way too long?
I would love Thomas to use it 100,000 times. So,
we've got power users who.
Is that some people may have an issue that they know that they're being tracked and they know how long they've been on it and stuff like that? Is it more anonymous, like this? We just know this person A has been on it this many times and stuff like that.
But we would never tell anyone about it. But I'm sure that the guy with the server can go in and find out that Thomas has been on this service for altogether 20 minutes or whatever it is. Yeah.
Sure. I just had to add a tough question because a lot of people ask these things, and I want our users to understand. And like you said, this is like a person on the street. You tell them as you were if they were a friend in the street. These are for people that don't have somebody readily to call FaceTime, like relatives and stuff. This is for a lot of people that may not have outside contact with a society person. This is what it's for, and these are the privacy. Okay, now, we need...
But if I may, also, even if you have lots of friends and family who want to help you, maybe you don't want them to do this. Maybe you just want to be friends with your friends and mm-hmm. not have them
not change the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Come over for a beer and but you don't have to do 10 things in the house before we can get to the beer. So or coffee. Sorry.
No, beer's fine with me.
Yeah,
I'm a coffee drinker, but
okay. So and also this that you can you can use it 10 times a day without nobody knowing or taking notice of it.
10 times a day, okay.
Mm. 20 times a day. We don't keep track of it.
Okay.
And there's no limits. The only thing that we had made this report. So if you show parts of your body that you shouldn't show, then the helper can go in and report it, and then we will take care of that.
So. That's good. That's good.
Work both ways. I mean, if we got a loon bird that just decided to just come on here and be a prank to us,
or he will be kicked out as well. Yeah.
And so, you can block them and then report them. And that's the same way if somebody wants to come in as a blind sign and being inappropriate, you can block them as well. So that's interesting. I wonder how entail is the blocking. I mean, you just pretty much block the IP address or the emails or without, I guess, just kind of stuff.
We block the email. So as a, there's, of course, a workaround that, but then, I don't think we haven't had a serious problem yet.
I was just going to ask about that. Have you guys had any issues with people doing things they shouldn't, or
we have seen on Twitter someone saying it, but and then we wrote back to her that she should report it, but and she said I will do that next time. but yeah, almost. You know, when you get into this kind of media hype, I also think that some people want to be interesting, or I don't know what to say about it. But
social media is either a curse or a blessing, depending on what side of an issue you're on.
So.
We're very well aware of that.
Very well put. Very well put, Michael. I like that. Well, that explains a lot of the volunteers issue. And at some point, I heard that you did a Kickstarter plan. I'm guessing you did a Kickstarter for this Be My Eyes.
It was Indiegogo.
Okay.
But that's pretty much the same.
Yes.
That was when we tried to raise some money.
Mm-hmm.
We made this Kickstarter campaign to build a better prototype so we could go and show that off to someone. And the Indiegogo campaign did not work out that well, but we managed to get into Danish television. We have been good at that, now I think about it. The day after, we got a call from one of the biggest foundations in Denmark, to whom we had sent an application 2 months earlier. And they just said that they would like to discuss this application. So, and then we did that, and they gave us those $300,000 that we needed to get started. So even the Indiegogo campaign didn't go that well. We got more than we asked for, so to speak. So
that's wonderful. I mean, this has been a blessing, and it's awesome. And so, how long do you have? Let's just say, how long will the money be there to make this server run and things like that? How long can we? I mean, the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, we have had other apps, not similar to this, but somewhat kind of sort similar to this, and they've gone to the wayside, and it really kind of sucks for all of us, because I remember the hype that we had when we first got it, and it was very helpful. But this is by far the best one I've seen, and I really want to see this live. And so I thought I heard it one time you said that you had enough money to run until like September.
Yeah, that's right.
And then in September, you were going to probably think about what your options are and what you're going to do at that point, but you don't know at this point.
No, not exactly. We do have plans that I can't talk that much about. I won't say I'm positive, but if you can get close to positive, I am close to positive that we can keep it running for several years. So.
Wow. You know, there are folks like me that, you know, personally, I would feel better about using the service if I could. I mean, I love the service, don't get me wrong, but I would personally like to contribute something to its maintenance. I'd like to comment. I mean, yeah, saying thank you to your volunteer, that's all fine and well, but I'd like to do more. I'd like to, you know, contribute to the common good, if you will, of the service to keep
that's exactly what I was thinking, Michael. And my idea was that I think one of the things that I like to share with you, with both of you, is that the one thing was missing, I think it'd be great if you have a donation button on both sides, a non-sided and sided, so people can donate.
We have considered that. I think we will do that as well. But we would. I'm so glad you say it, because we like to hear it from those people who should donate, and not just something that we think of. So it's great that you tell me that you would feel better.
Would.
Yeah, but it's also very important to me that everyone can use this without paying. But I know if you have an iPhone, that's very expensive telephone, then you might not be totally bad off. But still, you might have spent all your money on that iPhone, so there's no money left.
Could there be a middle ground where they could make a way for those of us who have the financial means to make a donation and the desire to make a donation that could, and those who weren't able to necessarily wouldn't be penalized for it?
Yeah, I would like to do it that way. It's like the volunteers, they volunteer if they want to volunteer, so to speak, and so. I'm quite sure when I read these reactions to from the helpers, they are so excited about that they have been able to help someone, and we haven't mentioned donation at all, but we do have that much money, but I think $300 or $400 or $500 we have come in. I was kind of surprised. In the beginning, I thought it was some kind of spam mail or something like that. But then one of the other in the team said, oh, that's $100.
That's real.
It happens, and we understand.
That's
great. So people are pouring in with the idea they love it. But no, I really think a donation button would work, because I think it would give us Kind of like, you know, if you love it, please donate. And I encourage everybody to do that. And I think it would add up. And then, you know, with everybody pitching in, it doesn't have to be much, but at the end, it can pile up high if we all did it together. And
And we really try to keep our expenses in a very low level, because we know that at some point we don't have these nice dollars from the Velux Foundation. So
you're doing this as a nonprofit organization as
well.
That makes a difference too. I want to let people out there know this is a nonprofit. This is not a commercial. People out there, some other apps that I know of that do this to make money and things like that. And so, but this is a nonprofit, and so this is strictly they got to make money to run the places, but they also need, you know, but they're not there just to make a quick buck either. So there was a couple other things I want to note to our users that I found out from other users and just hearing things, which I want to make clear too. For those that are very concerned about privacy, which I get, especially a lot of women and girls alike, the first thing I want to let you know, when you use the Be My Eyes and when you do get a helper, the first thing I want to let you know is that the rear camera is on. It's not your front camera, so they do not see your face. So
that's right.
So if you're concerned about them seeing who you are and looking what you look like, don't worry about that at all, because it comes out of the rear camera. Just be careful, you know, obviously there's no mirrors in the room or anything like that, but I want to let you know it comes out of the rear, so they never see your face. Like that.
And that's one of the things that we have learned, that we need to make a short introduction where we explain these things. So in maybe not in the first update that's coming here, but in a week or 2 weeks, I hope we can have explanation introduction for the blind people, so they are totally aware of what is happening. So
send that link to us and we'll put that in the show notes so people can come, and then obviously they can come to this podcast. We're talking about a lot of privacy issue too. The other thing I noticed too is that for those that are waiting for helpers, if you go about doing your deal like you're going to go play your dice roll or trivia crack or check your email, the person on the other end, when they do come connect in, are not going to be able to see your video feed from your rear camera until you bring the app in the foreground. And that's another thing we learned, is that the app needs to be in the foreground in order for the helper to be able to use and help you out with the camera. So if you are confused and lost and why they can't see anything, try bring your app to the foreground. So I want
the foreground basically means that you have the that you have the app itself open and the window open on your screen.
You can't do much
can't
other things.
Michael, got anything else, buddy?
So, in closing, where can users, number one, where can they go to, one, find out about the app, and two, where can they go to connect with you guys if they have a question? You guys have a Facebook page, a Twitter. Where can they get in touch?
We are on Twitter and Facebook, and the name is Be My Eyes, and then they can just go into our webpage, bemyeyes.org, or they can write me, Hans, at bemyeyes.org.
Hans.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At
all right.
bemyeyes.org.
Hans at bemyeyes.org. Okay. I just want to make sure that we had all the details right.
What about you, Hans? Do you have anything?
What do you want to tell us? Yeah. Or tell the users? Or?
I would like to ask you a question, because we get so many mails from people who want an Android version. And we haven't done an Android version. We would like to do one, but I still need to see to know how many blind people uses Android phones. Have you any idea about that, or could you ask your listeners?
I don't know, but you know, you basically just asked it in about the best way that you could. So would you like folks to perhaps, you know, email you guys if they would like an Android version?
More
how can they let you guys know?
They can just send me an email, but I would like to get in contact with the blind people who uses an Android phone.
Okay, sure.
So we can make sure that there is someone who wants this.
Make sure it's viable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I don't know the number of
but I don't think any. We have been searching the net, but you can't even find out how many blind people use iPhone or something like that.
No, that's another statistic that we don't know the answer to. I don't know. If you ever find something, let us know, because I'd be curious as to the actual number.
There's no doubt a lot of people out there that do use the Android, and I know quite a few friends that do use the Android, and so.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the question is how much of an interest is it and how many there are. But I do know that I think we can all agree that the majority of the people that are in the countries like ours, Europe and United States, is probably going to be more majority of the iPhone. But there are
Android, right?
Yeah. There are, and there definitely are people that use Android for sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of shows out there that's the people that are blind and things like that, and you can look for that. But yeah, if there's any Android users out there that are listening to this podcast, please do contact Hans so you guys can have an opportunity to hear your voice, because this isn't just about the iPhone. This is about the blind community. And it is.
And
if you got an Android, and if it's a cost issue or just simply because you like it better than the wall garden phones, which I get, I understand both sides, and I want you to have the same privilege as well. So that's a great question. Great.
Because when we are looking a little bit out in the future, and we have done this what we can with this, we're thinking that we would like to reach out to countries where India or China, or where blind people, I don't know, but I don't think many of them have an iPhone, and you can get a good Android phone for I don't know, a quarter of the cost of an iPhone or something like that. Sure. So, and I would like to help also blind people in less developed countries. So, but that might take a little while before we get there. But that would be nice if we could do that.
So that sounds good, because, you know, the way I've always seen it is, you know, people like to argue about iPhone or Android, and people go back and forth and back and forth. It's one of the favorite topics that you'll see on any of the tech AT forums. But the reality of it is assistive technology is whatever works best for you. And if I have an iPhone, and I'm just like anybody else, I think everybody should be able to have the same access regardless of what platform they're on.
I'm a fanboy. I am an Apple fanboy. I'm not going to deny it, but I get it. No, people in China and India and stuff like that, Android is huge. You know, there's a billion people out there with the Android phone. So the numbers.
I can tell you that here in Denmark, I know quite a lot of blind people, and I have only seen one person with who actually used the smart thing in a smartphone, and that was an Android. All the other users iPhone. So.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have been saying that we can't do that now, because we can't justify it, and we can't make this app just to get even more helpers than we have already. So we need to have that it is a need among the blind people as well.
Okay, well, Hans, thank you so much for all your time and for coming to join us on a Sunday here. And, you know, more importantly, thanks for your vision and doing something that hasn't been done before for the blind community. I've used Be My Eyes. It was great. And, I think, Thomas and I, we agree. We want to wish you the best of success, and please do keep in touch.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show. That was great.
No, no problem. Thank you, Hans. I really love your product, and I really wish all the best for you. This is absolutely fantastic, and I only hope that this we'll have for a long time to come. So good talking with you, Hans.
Thank you.
Yeah. This has been AppleVis Extra number 26, Sunday, January 18th, 2015. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by the team at AppleVis. For more information and resources to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit the AppleVis website at www.applevis.com, where you can also contact the AppleVis team.